This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Alleluia, you are here, precious Lord of peace. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So there's a little book called A Common Prayer by Michael Lunig. It was written in 1990. I think I've had it since then. And every so often I pull it out and it brings me great comfort. I'm going to read one of the prayers. It's a letter to God that he wrote as the opening to my reflections, and then also I'm going to read the same prayer as the closing. Dear God, we struggle. We grow weary. We grow tired. We are exhausted. We are distressed. We despair. We give up. We fall down. We let go. We cry. We are empty. We grow calm. We are ready. We wait quietly. A small, shy truth arrives. Arrives from without and within. Arrives and is born. Simple, steady, clear. Like a mirror, like a bell, like a flame, like rain in summer. A precious truth arrives and is born within us, within our emptiness. We accept it. We observe it. We absorb it. We surrender to our bare truth. We are nourished. We are changed. We are blessed. We rise up. For this we give thanks. Amen. A friend of mine that I've had since I went to kindergarten in this school, Kathy Weems, gave me a quote from Cadet Monica Luther about this listening idea, listening in the stillness and in our emptiness and in our times of solitude with God. And it's just this beautiful quote. She said, "I think God speaks in whispers, in tiny little whispers. And to hear a tiny little whisper, you must be very, very silent and alone and open. And that is what meditation is. And it is a lost art. But somewhere, God whispers, waiting for someone to hear." Paul was listening to that still, small voice. He had been traveling. He was on the westernmost coast of Asia, on the Aegean Sea, and he must have been looking over that vast amount of water and wondering what was on the other side of it. And that very night, he would have a vision. He would have a dream that would change the course of Western civilization forever and directly affect our lives. And all because he listened. He listened. The vision told him, in this dream, he saw a man from Macedonia come and say, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." That was the vision. And so when he woke up, sure that this was a message from God, that's exactly what they did. So they took off from this port city of Troas, and they went across the Aegean Sea, eventually getting over to Greece and what we now know as Europe. And then he went north of there to Macedonia, and he met a woman named Lydia, who was a woman of prayer, and she was hearing something too. She was hearing something in what he and his companions were saying, and she asked them to stay with her, and so they did. And they developed this relationship that would grow and grow and grow and grow into one of the most profound Christian communities in Philippi, We know it best for Paul's letter to the Philippians. He was willing to trust his own inner guidance by that vision and follow through. He would soon be arrested and put in prison and then have this miraculous escape from prison, and he would fall down and get up and fall down and get up. Paul lived out that Michael Lunig prayer that I just read to you. He lived it out every day because he knew of the peace and love of his Lord Jesus Christ. He knew about it firsthand. This message of the love and peace of Christ is for all people, for all nations. It's our universal longing, our universal connection. In the 50 days of our Easter season, which we are in now, believe it or not, Pentecost is in 2 weeks, we hear stories of going beyond boundaries, further and further and further and further, breaking down walls and going places where no one has ever gone before. And it's because this love of Christ is limitless. It is outside of ourselves and beyond us, yet within us too. John wrote of this in that cosmic reading that we hear from the book of Revelation. And he wrote of a new earth not bounded by walls. I saw no temple in the city, he wrote. And he writes of this city, which was known as Jerusalem or Jerusalem, the city of peace. And metaphysically, now that is the place where we all long to be, right? We all want that peace deep within us. And that's this message for today's gospel. Because we want it here, not only in the sweet by and by, but on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray all the time in the Lord's Prayer. That awareness. And that's the thing. For so long, especially in America, we get caught up in outcome-oriented thinking. What's the goal? What's going to be the end result? And we do have to do planning. I get that. But along the way, we can't miss the moment. We can't be so caught up in what we're going to buy to get us the boyfriend or the husband or the wife or the new home or the new place or finally when I retire, I'm going to have peace of mind. We all do that. We all do that. And we wait and we miss the moment. We miss the moment. This peace along the way in the journey is how A.J. Must wrote when he said, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. It's a process, not a product. There's a beautiful story from World War I that some of you may be aware of that happened on Christmas Eve in 1914 in the trenches in Germany. And as night fell on that Christmas Eve, there was a British ally named Frank Sumter, and he began to hear something in the trenches from the German side. You know, in the middle of the two trenches as they're fighting, and the middle is called no man's land. It's what they call it, because you go in that, you're going to die. So he's listening, and he hears music, he hears singing, and he was trying to listen for what it was, and then he recognized it as Silent Night. The Germans were singing Christmas carols, and not only that, but other songs as well. And they began to sing on the British side, too. So they're all singing carols now together. It's well depicted. I watched a documentary on the History Channel of this. And there was a gentleman there by the name of Leslie Wolkington. And they quoted him as saying, so then we began to pop our heads over the side and jump down quickly in case they shot, but they didn't shoot. And then we saw a German standing up waving his arms, and we didn't shoot. End quote. And soon the British and the German were meeting each other in no man's land, shaking hands and exchanging stories and realizing that they were all sharing in this horrible misery of war and death. And they started to exchange gifts of buttons, it says, and food and cigarettes and stories and laughter and more singing. And they even played a game of soccer together. Some say that truce, that armistice, went on until New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Others said it was Christmas Eve. Regardless, something happened on that night, the night before the birth of our Lord. A peace took over that was beyond understanding. And mind you, both sides knew full well that if they got caught consorting with the enemy, it would be punishable by court-martial and execution. And still, it didn't matter. Something took over that was greater than themselves. On the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends. There was something different going on then, too. He knew what was going to happen. He knew. And he was prevailing upon them to know deep within themselves a peace that was not of this world. Those were the words he said. I do not give as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on in my life, no matter our fears or worries about the world, our instructions from Christ is also to know this peace within us and allow that peace in the moment to guide our way. If we're outward focused, it's going to be fear. If we're inward focused and connected in prayer and take the time for that, like Lydia did, inviting the Lord into your home, your body, your mind and heart and soul, then that's where the peace begins. If we're pointing a finger at everyone else, nothing changes. It starts with us. Each Sunday when we gather, we pass the peace to one another. And this is no small nicety. It kind of gets that way, and it's this cordial thing that we kind of do with one another. But it's a powerful part of our liturgy. It's a powerful part of our service. When we say, the peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. And then we say, peace. The peace of Christ. I invite you today and from now on to take the passing of the peace with the understanding of today's gospel. You are declaring to one another, this is a peace that is not like the world is going to give us. This is a peace we carry with us and can recognize in one another and declare, even when we don't feel it, and then you can declare it for me when I don't feel it. That's why we in church speak call it the peace that passes understanding. Be not afraid. Be real with whatever is happening in your life. Go deep with it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And the truth that comes in being honest with whatever's really going on in our lives, then resurrects us as we look for whatever kind of help we might need with that or do whatever kind of reconciliation we need to do. This world needs you. The authentic you, the only you there is. We all need one another. And the power and the presence of the peace of the Holy Spirit. And now I invite you to listen to Michael Lunick's letter one more time. Dear God, we struggle. We grow weary. We grow tired. We are exhausted. We are distressed. We despair. We give up. We fall down. We let go. We cry. We are empty. We grow calm. We are ready. We wait quietly. A small, shy truth arrives from without and within, arrives and is born. Simple, steady, clear, like a mirror, like a bell, like a flame, like rain in summer. A precious truth arrives and is born within us, within our emptiness. We accept it. We observe it. We absorb it. We surrender to our bare truth. We are nourished. We are changed. We are blessed. We rise up. For this we give thanks. Amen.